Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am just busy and excited and alive.
All right. Well, very good. What a nice thing to be in spring.
It is. And it's fun for me when life moves at such a quick pace that there isn't really room for conditioning to kind of keep up.
It is so nice, isn't it? We're having the very same experience. We had the pleasure of essentially starting our retreat season, the 1st of April. We've started to move into a very wise strategy, which is that we don't have very many people here during the winter months. We don't have a lot of retreats because it's so cold and hard to keep folks comfortable and that kind of thing. And so we wait until the glorious spring months.
Yes.
And so we started up our retreats, and we're having that very same experience, that life is moving at a quick pace and loving every minute of it.
Great. Great. And Jen, tell me a little bit about what's going on in Africa.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, speaking of quick pace, I have a lot of ground to cover in these 10 minutes. we've just had a couple really big weeks in our kind of Africa project world. And actually, I've just finished writing an update that's going to go out to everyone, so it will have a lot of the same news, but people will have it in written form. So watch for that sometime, hopefully later in the week, in your inbox. So we are going on a trip in May, a business trip over there. We tend to talk about the trips in between our summer trips as business trips because they're so short. So I'm headed over there with another woman. We'll be there for a week or 10 days or so just to kind of check up on things. And as I was scheduling that trip and kind of looking at, well, what are the priorities going to be for the trip, it was extraordinary how life made those decisions for me. And so let's see, the sequence of events was a woman emailed me, she's the wife of someone who has traveled with us to Zambia before. He was a recent college graduate at the time, had just graduated from Harvard, and he brought a bunch of other friends with him, and they did some great work in Kantawumba. So anyway, he's stayed inspired about the project ever since. And his wife does some fundraising kind of work, and she had found a small family grant that she wanted to apply for on our behalf. And she said, it's particularly geared towards women and children. Is there anything that I could think of that would really make a difference right now? For the community in that vein. And so what immediately popped into my head was industrial sewing machines, because I've been in conversation with the team there, and, you know, the gals who sew are so talented. They do such good work, and they're just ready, you know, for that to just really take off, that part of the cooperative. But they really do need industrial machines. You know, they're using what would be, you know, a home machine, and it's just not going to stand up under a lot of use. So I wrote her back and I said, you know, what that was. And I thought, you know, if they had between one and three machines, that would really set them up. And she was thrilled because she thought that would be perfect. So she wrote that grant and, you know, we'll see. I have a really good feeling about it. And then within 24 hours of getting that communication, we got another email from a woman who had found us on the web, who it turns out she was born in Zambia, very right outside of Ndola, very close to Kantawumba.
Wow.
Moved to Canada when she was 2 years old with her family. I think her mother's Canadian and her father is Zambian. And she has only been back to Zambia once, 3 years ago, and was incredibly moved by the disparity between how she grew up in Canada and how really the rest of her family, you know, her cousins, aunts, uncles, everyone live in Zambia. And very, very poor. I mean, they're not well-off Zambian people. She said up until her father purchased a farm there during that trip 3 years ago, they were living off the land. You know, they were literally planting and eating, you know, just planting what they needed to survive. So, and she's been very successful in her adult life in the fashion industry. She's kind of been in all sides of it. And so she really decided in the last little while that she wants to start her own business and knows a ton about it. I mean, it's not sort of this, I think I want to make something. I mean, she knows what she's doing. I had a phone conversation with her where I was just blown away by the depth of knowledge she has about the fashion industry.
Wow.
And the thing is that she kind of has all those pieces in place. She knows what she wants to make. She knows how to make it. She knows how it needs to be marketed. She knows how to import, export. She knows all of that. What was stopping her was she really wanted it sewn by people in Indola and couldn't figure out how to make that happen. And she found us on the web.
I think she found the right person.
Oh, my God. And it was so fun, Michael. I thought the other day when I was writing the update to Google it to see how did she find us. And I Googled Sewing Cooperative Indola Zambia were the first three hits on that page.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just, you know, I wrote her right back and just said, I just can't believe getting your email. This is amazing. And let's talk on the phone. And, you know, after that sort of thinking, you know, who knows what could come of that. But really, after talking to her on the phone, I really am amazed at the opportunity that this could be for the folks in Cantabamba. For her, it's perfect for her. For us, it's just, it's really, really exciting. And her vision is much bigger than just, you know, starting her own company. It includes wanting to create businesses in downtown Indola, you know, open shops where this stuff would get sold. She knows how to, you know, what to call the shop, how to market it, you know, how it will really work. Having the folks in Cantabamba teach sewing. So she'd love to have some of her relatives, some of the young women that are in her family, be able to come and learn at the cooperative. So it's quite a big vision.
That sounds really exciting. And so amazing how it all came together at the same time with the grant.
Exactly, exactly. And the funny part was, we had just made a decision of who was going to travel with me this time. It's someone who's traveled with us before.
Yeah.
She hasn't been there in a couple years. And it's someone who, one of her talents is that she's very, very good at overseeing quality control and kind of creating things with the sewing cooperative. So we made that decision like a week
ago.
I mean, it was just interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then, because I have to keep moving because we're going to be through these 10 minutes, as if that weren't enough, we got word at the end of that week that another grant came through. I had spoken with a woman probably 2 months before. She had come on retreat with us, I'd say 6 months before that, really been moved by the retreat, heard about our work in Africa. Her family has a foundation, and so she and I had been in conversation about what they wanted to do. Her grandfather is particularly interested in nursing. And so she found out about Mukonda, who is the woman that we had recently hired on our last trip, who is a nurse.
Yes.
And so at the end of that week, we got this grant that came through to fund medical care in Cantabamba.
Amazing.
And the really fun part about that is that's a matching grant. It's a $5,000 matching grant.
Great.
And so in this update that will come out later this week, there's a link if people want to jump in and help make that match happen. So, you know, the way matching grants work is as soon as we can come up with the $5,000 on our side, they match the $5,000, and we have $10,000 for medical care in Cantabamba. So that's huge.
And that goes a long way in Cantabamba.
It goes a really long way. And it's just so great that, you know, I mean, 3 months ago, we didn't have that piece in place, even though, I mean, sure, $10,000 would still do a lot, but, I mean, you don't really know exactly what you need to buy and where you're going to buy it and where you're going to store it and who's going to use it and how's that going to work. But we have that piece in place now, which we didn't have before. So it's amazing how everything lines up just the way it needs to line up.
It is, and it occurs to me as you're talking that it feels like all of the work we do in Africa and here is really about putting those foundations, those blocks in place, so that these kinds of magical things can happen.
You know, that's exactly what I was looking at with it too, is I just, what fun, what a privilege it is to be working in an environment where we've learned the skill to just kind of step aside, if you will, and let life lead us. And that's exactly what happens. Like, I mean, life puts the pieces in place way more gracefully than I ever did, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I throw in one more thing before we end?
Yes.
Which is that I have something that I want to do for Teresa before I go. And I'm leaving on May 9th, and I really want to put together kind of a scrapbook, if you will, of her time here in the United States.
Yes.
With photos of different things that she got to do and people she met. And I just wanted to put out there for folks, if anyone who met her, if you were moved by something in particular, if you want to just write that and email it to africa@livingcompassion.org, and then we'll include it in this little scrapbook for her. Just for her to see what a huge contribution she is and how many people were moved by her visiting and getting to meet her in person. And I just think it would be so fun for her to get to have that.
Yes. Sounds very fun.
And photos, too, if people want to. I've put this out to some of the other monks and folks who are at particular events and actually asked them if they would print the photos because it's sad to say, but you can't email a high-resolution photo to us here at the monastery. We just don't have a good enough internet connection to receive it. So if people have photos they particularly like, they could just print them out and stick them in the mail to us.
Great. That's very fun.
Yeah.
Jen, can I ask you briefly about a different topic?
Sure.
I've heard a little rumor about Mountain View Zen Center.
That there is one.
Yes.
Yes.
Tell us.
Well, I'll tell you very briefly because I know you have a whole show to attend to, and we can talk about it more, I'm sure, in future weeks. But we did just finally secure a new Zen Center in the Bay Area, which has been very long in coming. It was a really interesting process of, for a while, just not finding the right place for all different kinds of reasons. And we did. We found a place that's in Mountain View. It's a commercial property that's going to be plenty big to have any size workshop we want, which is really exciting. And I think we're going to be just putting a lot more energy down into our Bay Area Sangha because there's so much potential down there. You know, it's funny, as we were sending emails out, you know, each week, when we didn't have a home, we would say, okay, we're having group in this location, or we're not having group this week, and so many people wrote back to us who we'd never even heard of saying, oh, tell me about your meditate. You know, when does that happen? How does that work? And we realized that there are a lot of people down there who could use that support. So we're going to put a lot of energy down there. And the other huge plus for us, of course, is back to the internet connection thing, that, you know, it's right there in the city. So we can have all the technology we need to really support all these great new practice opportunities that we're doing for far-flung folks. So that'll be kind of the hub of where all that happens too. So we're not sure when our exact move-in date and kind of big, opening day will be, but we'll definitely keep people informed about that.
That sounds very exciting.
Yeah, it is. We're definitely excited.
Forward to that. Jen, thank you so much for sharing yourself and your time tonight.
Thank you, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay, we will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon. That was a thrill a minute, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Wow. That's a lot of good news.
That's a lot of good news.
Wow.
We're going to need a good news hour soon.
Yes. That really is true. That there's so much going on, so much great stuff happening. It's hard for me to keep up with. So, you know, I can really sympathize with people who are, you know, trying to get it from an email here or a good news update there or whatever. It, you know, you can just always feel like I don't quite have the whole picture here.
Yeah.
So that's really fun.
I can remember just a couple of years ago with the email and the website that I was up to date on everything and, you know, knew everything. And now it's just there's so much coming from every direction, every way, and so much support. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. 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 It's kind of a number of years ago, you literally, to have this kind of support, you would have to live next door to a Zen center.
Yes.
You know, if you weren't going to be a monk, you would have to, you just have to live right there because, it's just, it's hard to get people supporting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it's happening.
Yes.
No matter where you are.
Yes. Yes. great. I have a number of announcements here.
Right.
You have a new practice blog. It's called Sherry's Practice Blog.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. And in your words, in this blog, I will offer what's inspiring me in my own practice. In this way, I hope to be in communication with the larger Sangha, expanding the support we all need for maintaining and deepening practice in our own lives.
Hmm.
Exciting.
Yeah, kind of it's a little bit connected with and a sort of a follow-up to the practice everywhere. You know, the, just the reminders that are coming out to people and then a little bit more conversation about it. And as we go along, hopefully a little back and forth. In fact, I got a response to the most recent posting, and I want to talk about that. I want to talk with people a little more about taking ourselves personally, and I'm excited about it.
Great, great. The Green Cove Retreat is getting close. What you
yes,
practice
it
is what you have is a 7-day retreat with you, Sherry, in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, and there's still space available in this great East Coast retreat.
Yes, and I happen to be just a very short distance away from that location right now, and it is just heartbreakingly beautiful here in these mountains right now.
Wow!
So I'm hoping that lots of folks get there. It's truly breathtaking. Everything is blooming, and by the time we get there a month from now, the dogwoods should be out, and oh, it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be great. And you will also be guiding a weekend workshop at Yogaville, and that's in Virginia, May 7th to 9th.
Yes.
Also,
another beautiful spot.
Yes, lots of beautiful spots.
Uh-huh.
And enrollment is now open for the Personal Practice Planning email class.
Uh-huh.
And if that's news to you, check your inbox. You should see an email there about that opportunity.
Great. I think we went over one, which is for people who want to go to a different kind of beautiful. I'm going to be in Hawaii, in Honolulu, on April 24th, 20-something, sometime around there in the latter part of this month.
Yes, I'll look it up, the dates, and mention it later.
Yeah.
On. And the details for all of these are on the website, and lots of practice opportunities everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A retreat near you.
Yes, coming soon, if not already there.
Right.
And we have lots of wonderful callers here.
Good. Let's talk to them.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Sure, it's Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm on day 6 of my at-home deepening practice retreat.
That's right. That's right, because one member of your family is now listening to us talk, probably from maybe not the west porch of the monastery, but somewhere close to there.
Yeah, so... trying to get coherent here. So we're 6 days into it, and it's this is going to be the easy week, or it seems like it anyway, just because it's the kids are on spring break and I'm home, and there's not all the times during the regular school day when there's things to be done, like okay, you're up now, you've got to eat breakfast and get dressed and brush your teeth and get out of the house, or you're home from school and now you've got to do your homework and do this other thing and then get ready to go to swimming. You know, that really doesn't exist right this week. Other than we have to go do those things, but there's all kinds of time. So
yes. So that's nice. You're being you're breaking in gradually.
That's exactly what it occurred to me. It's like a little easing me into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which follows kind of along with what Jen was saying a little bit ago, with that sense of when we let go into it. Very often we realize what great care life takes of us.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. I wasn't able to hear the whole part of the tonight's call, but yeah, I like that. What I'm noticing has been coming up most frequently the desire to control, and you know that's always been there as a parent, but I'm just really seeing it more, especially on these days when it's a little slower. You know, this, oh, you know, we have to leave now, or you can't go do that thing now. And then with a little perspective and time, I can see, oh, well, I guess it really was probably okay for that to happen at that time.
Yeah. And is it your sense that it's a habit, just kind of a knee-jerk no, or yes, it's got to be this way, or it can't be that way? Is it
It's been that way. Not always. In the time that I'm thinking of right now, yesterday it was It probably is more of a habit when the time is getting shorter, and I start looking at the clock and think, okay, so we have to leave. We had to leave tomorrow. Yesterday at 5:10, and so I could see that. You know, I'm looking at 4. Okay, you got to finish doing this thing, and then it's taking longer, and that's when the body sensations of you're going to be late, and another one is like, you know, I feel like I'm losing the battle. I'm not being strict enough, or which of course means I'm a bad parent.
Mm-hmm. And the body sensations there. So there it is. I can feel the tightness as you're talking. And so there's that tension. Now it's 4 o'clock and I'm just get this. And the tension begins to build and those muscles begin to tighten. And then the signals start coming out that there's a certain amount of urgency and, oh my God, this doesn't. And it just begins to roll along there until, if we're not paying fairly close attention, we can wind up screaming and yelling and threatening and all sorts of things just based on all these sensations are happening in my body and they mean these things have to happen this way. It's up to me to make them happen this way. And, what a place of suffering.
Yeah. And that's you just read my mind or foresaw or whatever. Yeah, it's exactly the way it was. I mean, once I'm getting into that place, even I'm, you know, trying to pay attention to it. Once I'm there, it's like I'm looking through the opposite of rose-colored glasses. I'm looking through the gray whatever colored glasses, and it's everything that's coming in at that point, whether it's a thought or what I'm seeing or what the child is saying, it all goes through this yucky filter.
And very often, the most difficult thing for us is to stop. So we go back to Alex's stop, drop, and breathe. You know, that's such a great guidance because that's the hardest thing for us to do is just get ourselves stopped, drop this story, breathe for a few breaths, and look to see, you know, is this an emergency? Is this a tragedy? Is anybody dying here? You know?
Yes. Yeah, that would have been helpful had I done that, and it'd be good to maybe if I can, especially when I know I can plan on those. There are going to be those times that after 4 on Mondays and Fridays and at whatever time on Wednesday.
Yeah.
When I know things are going to be cramped and I can plan some form of stopping and dropping.
And you know, one of the things I think that's available to all of us mm-hmm. is to learn to recognize those sensations in the body and watch it enough that we can see what that progression is and train ourselves that when those sensations start, what I want to do is, because that's it, right now the sensations start and we just go into an automatic reaction. So if we go into that automatic reaction, we can go to a conscious response. So when I start to feel my stomach tighten up and I can hear my voice getting strident, then that's going to signal me
that I need to stop and drop this and breathe for a while and come back to myself. So using that process of the same thing that has been able to toss me headfirst into suffering becomes the thing that signals me to come back to myself.
Mm-hmm. And yes, because it's if I don't become aware of it soon enough, eventually the glasses will be on, and it's a bit more difficult to come back. And what I've noticed over the last couple of years is that the time that the glasses are on is less. I mean, I'm still putting them on, still going there, but then, like, even yesterday, the kids had to do it, went down to the neighbor's house to check the eggs for their chickens while they're out of town, and there was this thing about that, and, you know, by the time she came back, and we talked, and then we both apologized, and everything went on, and everything was fine. But if I can just be mindful that of those transition times between events, things need to get done, to avoid putting the glasses on.
Yeah, exactly. And to give ourselves permission to take the time we need to train ourselves in this way, because we've got eons of training to lose consciousness and go crazy.
Right.
So to give ourselves the time and space to train ourselves in this other direction. And the other thing about that I find really helpful for myself is to take on something like that one thing at a time. So for the next month, what I'm going to concentrate on is reminding myself to come back and check those stomach muscles. Are they tightening up? Are they relaxing? You know, what's going on with me? That's all. I'm not working on anything else of a personal growth nature. Just that one thing I'm focused on. And by the end of that month, you'll have a real level of freedom with that particular piece of conditioning.
Okay.
Yeah. We get, you know, conditioning, I think, is able to manipulate us as easily as it does, because it gets us to, well, you know, you need to look at this. Well, what about that? Oh, yeah, but you forgot about that. Well, but you should be looking, yeah, but you need to. And it just keeps us kind of running around behind it, trying to catch up with what it's pointing at as the current problem.
And that's exactly. Well, that's exactly what I was, because I started a 30-day retreat out of the book for this month, and I spent the first couple of days kind of, well, what about this and what about that, but I ended up coming up with something that was, you know, a good. It wasn't this particular thing you just said, but it's has to do with me computer time, which can that can be a big time suck for me, and with trying to keep the house in one piece right now, I want to not be on it all the time. So
yeah.
But the process of coming to the topic, the exact thing I'm going to do with that took a couple of days of noodling in and what about this, and until I finally, actually during my repetitive listening call last night, was able to see that and focus and come up with a good little thing.
Well, be patient with yourself, Dad. Give yourself a little extra slack here.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, actually. That's very good.
Lowering the standards.
Exactly, and then lower them again and again until they become manageable. That's great. All right, well, take care.
I will.
Keep as much as you can.
And I will take good care, and I'll be able to call. I should be able to call in each Tuesday this month, because I'm getting off early each day. So, that will be a big support for me.
Yeah. The kids will be supporting you in doing that too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, my oldest had to call in for me today, because I was out with the other one. So, put me on hold for all
great.
That.
That's great. All right. So we'll talk to you soon then.
Yes.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, Michael. Good night, Sherry.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pete calling.
Ooh. Hi, this is who?
Calling.
Gosh, Michael, are you getting that?
Yeah, we're getting a little break up there.
Is
okay.
It?
All right, one more time there. Next caller.
This is Peter from China.
Oh, it's gone. I can hear somebody's there, but it sounds like a strobe.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's Peter from China. He's trying again. How about we encourage that caller to call back in?
Yes.
And then I'll see if I can get them on again.
Okay. Watch for him.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Sherry, I found the dates for Honolulu, Hawaii. It's April 23rd and 24th.
All right. I think it's a Friday and a Friday night and a Saturday.
Yes, coming up very soon.
Good. Good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And we are going to take a break here and hear from our sponsors.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Sherry, I think we may have that previous caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Peter from China.
Oh, my, that is much better.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
we
great.
We suspected it was you, and this is lovely. Good. How
wow,
are
that's
you?
Great. I am fine. I'm fine. Hi, Michael. I wanted to just I have a pretty clear plan for what I called in, so I'll make it fast. And it's just basically to give an update on where I was, one where we left off, and then ask for tips. And I think the callers before actually really answered a lot, as it usually happens.
Are you there?
I am here. I'm here. Did you get that?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay.
And then it got very, very quiet, and I got a little nervous. Okay? All right.
Okay.
So you have an update for us?
Yeah. So the basically I was changing my sitting practice around from sitting in 1 half-hour chunks to possibly breaking it up and multiple times for maybe a little less throughout the day. And I found that the big chunks where I was kind of daydreaming, if you were, seemed to get less, and it seemed like there was more to the point. So I noticed that change, and then my attention focused on now is that I noticed, which was always there before, which is more like where, you know, when the daydreaming starts, if you will, like it's always revolving around, you know, certain content that maybe I think is, you know, a problem throughout the day that I have to figure out for work or something like that. And it would hook me to, and I just noticed that it would always be there kind of in the background distracting. And what I found, I guess, just actually this morning when I was sitting, the only thing that seemed to kind of help, because, you know, throughout the day, when I notice that happening, going back to the breathing helps. But when I'm sitting, I'm actually doing the breathing practice. So it's kind of like reverse. And so the only thing that I found that this morning really helped was to actually say, okay, slow down even more when I would pick up on this pattern, slow down even more and focus even more on the breath. So, you know, maybe on the inhale, I would be focusing on, you know, every little minute point of the inhale just to try to stay with the breath. And it seemed to help. But I didn't know if there was, if you had anything that you could offer or from your experience, or, I mean, because I see this as the same process that happens throughout the day when I'm, you know, at work or doing whatever. It feels like it's the same thing going on.
Yes, absolutely. And what you're doing with that, with your practice generally and specifically, is committing to being present, committing to paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And
right. So
it's not actually, this is such a subtle place, but there, when we talk about it like this, it can seem as if what we're saying is you need to get to a particular experience. But of course,
that's true.
Yeah, that's not really what we're saying. Because
right. The
only reason a person would want to get to a particular place is so that they could then either go to sleep or leave that place, right? So
it's
really the process of being present that you're practicing. And everything that you do, I mean, we don't want to turn it into a series of better ideas about things to help me be present. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that would kind of be sliding off on one side.
And
something that egocentric karmic conditioning would really like to get a hold of. You know, it's just going to put you through, well, try this, try that. You could do this, you could do that. That's not it.
Yeah.
But you're paying attention. You notice where you slide off and go, okay, well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come right back to the same thing, which is really a deepening of the commitment that you already have.
Right.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's my experience is been pretty much that, where I'm kind of aware of what's going on, and then conditioning likes to take a hold of it, like you said, and then kind of start trying to make an experience out of it, or try to make it like I'm getting somewhere, which is a scam. Obviously.
Yes. And the other thing that I think we spoke briefly of last time was that the other part of what you're doing is developing a relationship with the guy who's doing the sitting. So what you're also building is a sense of gratitude and commitment and appreciation and compassion for the person who's sitting there on the cushion attempting to do this. So you're learning to be a wise, caring, supportive mentor. And this is when I was saying earlier, I want to talk in the blog about not taking oneself personally, and that's what I want to talk about. So you move away from being the person sitting there, the human being, the incarnation. You're no longer identified as that small separate self. You are now moving into conscious, compassionate awareness and embracing him in conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when we're identified. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's actually like a missing part for me. Is the relationship with this guy who's sitting here doing this, you know, like you had said, the compassionate, like I don't know that I actually give me or the mentor that compassion, you know what I mean, for sitting there doing these doing this and working through this.
That's right. But that's increasingly what you will be learning and practicing. What you will have a growing sense of is what it is that leads you to sit.
Yeah.
Yeah. What what inspires you? What, you know, so it's like you're being drawn home. What is guiding you there?
It's definitely something. There's definitely something, because every day that I go to sit, I actually kind of get excited.
Exactly. And as the longer you sit, the more you sit, the stronger will be your sense that who you are is that excitement. And the excitement, of course, is just one expression of that. But it, so we could call it intelligence, we could call it awareness, sensitivity, intuition, expansiveness, whatever it is, whatever label, limited label we would want to put on it, you begin to sense that, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the loving kindness. That's the compassion. And as you become more that, as you feel yourself more that, then you look at that guy and the efforts that he's making and that he would, you know, I mean, your body can hurt, you know, there's that, you know, just nervous, anxious, that going up against conditioning, you know, with its constant, I don't want to do this, I hate it, and you just begin to have a sense of awe for who he is and his willingness and sincerity and that sort of thing. And there's nothing personal in it. You know, it's the same sense of admiration and appreciation that you would have for the person sitting on the cushion next to you in a retreat, or when you read, you know, the life of the great Zen masters of old, and you just think, wow, that is so amazing that anybody, you know,
Yeah, sometimes it's almost like, for me, it seems like it's almost like what I would do for somebody else, or the kind of praise I would give to somebody else, I actually forget to do it for that guy, for me, you know.
Exactly, because you're conditioned to take him personally, and then you would be talking about you, and that would be ego. But as soon as you make that shift, just for a split second, you can look at him and just see who he is and love him unconditionally.
Yeah, that helps. That's awesome. I'll definitely listen back to the archive and I think absorb even more of what you're saying, because it's the key, I think, is what you're saying, is about the compassion for the guy sitting, going to do the sitting.
Yes. And that growing sense that you are not that. You know, that you're here to embrace him into conscious, compassionate awareness. Not to be
that's huge.
And feel limited and get beatings and feel bad and no.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's perfect. That's what I needed, as usual.
Good. Excellent.
So yeah, thank you, and also I'll leave it at that. And then the blog, your blog is great. I can't actually access it from China, so I have a friend paste it and email it to me. So it's really great.
Oh, good. Well, that inspires me. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you again. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Okay. Good morning.
Good night. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Peter. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and we'll be right back.
Very good.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back. Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sri Devi from San Francisco.
Well, hello there.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Good, good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
All right. What's going on?
Well, I was just have to say that it's. I almost feel like I've been taken care of by listening to all of the previous callers.
It's Sangha the best.
They are. I'm overwhelmed with how much I love this practice and the Sangha, just being part of this. It's amazing. I was calling because I had an experience this weekend of being in a conversation with somebody and coming out of that conversation and feeling just watching a huge duality kind of show up. And it started off with me getting beaten up and an anger towards myself. And then very quickly, this person sent me an email following the conversation, and it switched into a duality of being angry at them and wanting to. And so it was just watching this duality back and forth of I'm either angry at them or angry at me or back and forth and back and forth, and all of the conversation that was happening around that and how important it was for this person to know I needed to follow up and they need to know, and just watching that show up within me. And they have to understand that, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I haven't done any of that. I'm just watching it and going, okay. And what actually in the course of today has been really interesting is it's moved into this place of, but I want to understand this person, and why are they saying what they're saying, and why are they doing what they're doing? And I'm really just seeing how external this is happening. It's all about this person, and why are they doing what they're doing? Because I have to figure it out, and maybe if I figure it out, it'll be okay. And what really struck me, I think, is that there's a part of me that in my practice notices something, sees it, and then immediately I realize, go into my head, to figure out, well, why am I doing that? Why is that person doing that? I see this. And instead of just, I think, and I guess what I'm looking for is encouragement that I think I'm heading down the right path of, I just notice it and that's good to know. And then I come back and I move on instead of, I feel like I'm constantly trying to figure myself out or figure somebody else out. And somehow that's going to get me somewhere.
Yes. And what I project you're closing in on is that process gets egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate somewhere, which is front and center in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one of these, it, conditioning, is really running the show. I mean, it's got you focused on you. Then it's got you focused on the other person. And it's got you focused on being upset about this or that, and then it's okay, then we've done that, and so you could be in danger of losing interest in it. But no, let's figure it out.
Yes. Oh, and it's just, I just really saw that in hearing all of the callers today and what you were just saying to this last caller. It was just like, oh my God, yeah, I go straight up into my head, got to figure it out, and immediately, boom, conversation. Yeah. And there's nothing to figure out. It's just, I know, there's nothing to figure out.
Isn't that relaxing?
Yeah, and it was so interesting watching like all of this emotion, and I was walking by a window today, and I saw the sunlight streaming down, and I just stopped, and I looked out, and I went, oh, how lovely, and everything just dropped away.
Yes.
And then, of course, within 2 seconds, it came right back. But I had the experience of the moment where there's nothing to figure out, and there's just this moment, and what a beautiful moment. But I really enjoyed, actually, the last 2 days in reflection, though it was torturous on some level, to really get to this place of going, I don't have to figure any of it out. I just have to notice it, and then I just notice it. And then maybe next time it comes up, it's like you were saying, like, I'll see how it happens because I'm just paying attention. But I don't have to change it. I don't have to do anything about it.
Yeah. And, the the drum that I'm beating on all the time is conditioning is doing this because it is maintaining its position by maintaining the illusion of a self that is separate from life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ego, and the only existence that it has is when you look at it and engage with it. So you give your attention to it. So there's this voice saying, well, what about you? Okay, and you turn your attention to that, and it appears to be real for the length of time that you attend to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't attend to it, it has no existence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's constantly scrambling to get you to look at it. It doesn't matter what it's doing as long as you're looking at it. It seems to be real. So that pressure to give attention to it is huge. What you could be doing is just walking around going, beautiful sunlight. Wow, gorgeous trees. Wow, this is lovely. Oh, great to be alive. Okay? But that's not going to feed ego.
Yeah.
And so it's just constantly pulling at your attention. Get her into the past. Get her into the future. Something wrong. Not enough. Figure it out. Go up into the head. Anything. It's just like a little child. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Yeah, and it was interesting with this other person, because the story that was so strong is I couldn't handle that this person had this opinion of me, and I had to somehow make them know that I had such an opinion of them. And I was just able to circle that back to speaking to, well, it's going to get me engaged in that because it speaks to one of my biggest karmic struggles, which is not being good enough. So, of course, it has to obsess about what this other person thinks of me. And then it's just all front and center. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then you drop it.
Yeah.
And it all goes away, and there's just a beautiful day. And then, whoop, there it comes back up again. And that's what we're doing, moment by moment by moment by moment.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we're so trained to believe that it's real and that it means something, and you do have to figure it out, and you do have to change. You know, you have to become the right person in order to be – and the notion that all we need to do is just go, no, those trees are in bloom, and here I am.
Yeah, that draw is so strong because it's always coming back. And the one thing I realize is there's a part of me that goes, won't it get easier at some point? Because I see it and then I go back, and I keep going back into it, but then I keep going, but I keep coming out of it, so it's okay.
That's right. And does it get easier? Of course it does. And it already is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that it's very difficult for us to get enough distance on it to actually know that. And it doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't. If you got caught and dropped it moment by moment for the rest of your life, okay. If that's how it is, it's much better than being permanently caught.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
You see it and you're here. There's a way in which I think we have to be careful, because it's so wonderful to come home that there can be a temptation to go away just so that we can have the wonder and joy of coming home.
Mm-hmm.
People will talk about, but don't I grow more in suffering than in happiness? No. It can certainly feel that way because the change is so dramatic. But if you can step back a little bit and look at your life over the last few years, you'll definitely have a sense that, it is easier. I do disidentify more quickly. I don't suffer in the same way that I used to.
Yeah. And I just thank you so much for that assignment you gave a couple callers ago about, for 1 month, if this is positive or negative, and just if it's negative, you don't need to listen to it. I'm just so excited. I'm taking that one on. I'm very
good.
Looking. Yeah. And it was interesting because as you were saying it, I felt the reaction in my body, like the resistance was right there because it was just ego.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then that's a disastrous kind of a project from ego's perspective. Oh,
yeah. Oh, I'm so excited about it. I can't wait. And then just one quick plug I want to do. I know that they were talking about the personal practice plan earlier.
Yes.
I participated in the pilot practice plan, and I just can't say how wonderful I found that and just how it's really helped me focus on my practice and really given me something to commit to and follow and help me as I go through these things of just knowing exactly what I'm doing daily and weekly and monthly. And I just, anyone who's thinking about do it, I just highly encourage it. It was such a wonderful experience.
Good. And that notification just came out, didn't it?
Yeah.
That everybody can now join in with this. Yeah. I thank you for mentioning that again. I'm really hopeful that everybody in the Sangha is going to participate because there's nothing quite like making a commitment to turn your life around, which is, of course, why conditioning is so resistant to schedule and to commitment, because it's freedom for us and really bad news for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks
good.
So much, Sherry.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks
for calling.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's 6 o'clock.
Oh, no. How is that possible?
Time is flying.
Let's do this again next week, shall we?
Tuesday?
Yeah.
5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, Tuesday, California time.
Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you,
sir.
Okay.
Good night.